Evening, church. It's good to see everybody here tonight. I did not ask anybody to take attendance. Can you do that? That's what I usually do. It's like, wait, I can't do that when I'm up here. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Brother Philip Kelly led a song that is familiar to many of us, especially those who grew up in the church. I want you to grab a songbook and turn to song number 268. I gave my life for thee. This is such a wonderful song.
Amen.
On so many levels. We're not going to sing it. Let's just follow along and hear the words and feel the words. Sometimes when we just read the words, we can absorb a better meaning, occasionally. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? That's important. That's why there's a repeat sign. We repeat it again. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Verse 2. My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? Verse 3. I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony, to rescue thee from hell. I borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? Verse 4. And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? It's powerful, isn't it? That song should make you feel something, whether you sing it or read it. Kind of a side note, nothing really to do with the lesson, but while we're thinking about the songs in the songbook, we need to remember that the songs in our songbook were written by men and women. They're not the inspired word of God. There are a few songs in the book that are verses taken directly from the Bible and put into a tune. But most of them were written by men and women, which means there are some songs in the book that aren't scriptural. One of the ones that comes to mind is He Lives. Great song until the last line. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Well, that's not how we know He lives, is it? That's error. We know how He lives because the Holy Word of God tells us so.
Amen.
This is how we know He lives. But that's another sermon for another time. The line in the song that we just read, that I want to focus on tonight, is the last line. What hast thou brought to me? Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, a relatively lengthy read. Let's follow along, going through verse 45. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking on ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were fearful. And again he took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him, and spit upon him, and scourge him, and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, saying to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it has been prepared." And hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. The reason this is so important to see is that in the preceding verses, Jesus had just laid some expectations on his apostles. He told them, James and John, that they would be required to drink the cup of suffering, verse 39. And he had told the other ten that if they want to be great in the kingdom, they must become a servant of all, verse 44. So he's expecting them to be radically different from the way humans ordinarily act, right? They are to serve each other and all people, even non-Christians. And in that service, drink the cup of whatever suffering it will cost, and it will cost. This is one reason that we are to be humble. We humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, James 4:10. Many times Christians are overconfident to the point of arrogance. Most of the time we should close our mouths and open our ears. As we humble ourselves, we admit that we need help. And we turn to Christ and say, "I can't be or do what I know I'm supposed to be and do. I'm desperate. I need something way beyond what is inside of me or in any other ordinary person. I need you. I turn to you. I have nothing to offer in trade or purchase. I trust you to show me mercy." I know that Paul, the apostle, called himself the servant of Jesus Christ in Romans 1:1, not a contradiction of what Jesus is teaching here in Mark 10:45. Jesus himself called us his servants in other contexts. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him, John 13:16. The idea of servant is being used in two different ways. We are the servants of Jesus in that we submit to his authority and his right to tell us what to do, whatever he pleases. But we are not his servants in the sense that he needs our help and that his enterprise in the world is sustained by our energy. He is not our servant in the sense that we command him how to live. He is our servant in the sense that he uses all his divine resources to help us and strengthen us and guide us and support us and provide our needs. Amen. Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. As it states in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Don't miss this. Jesus is choosing to suffer. He is choosing to die. He is participating intentionally in his own execution. Christ's death gives us life. Christ gave his life for you, gave his blood. What have you given him? Do you attend worship service? Do you attend Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night as the elders have guided us? Just as Christ was here to serve, we are to serve each other. The elders are servants to us as we are to them. The elders set forth the times we need to meet, and we need to be there. Let's talk about the eldership for a moment. Elders are servants of the Lord and have the responsibility of nurturing and caring for the congregation. These men are exemplary servant leaders who commit themselves to the church with prayer and the ministry of the word, also referred to in Scripture as shepherds or overseers. Some of the responsibilities, they nurture the entire congregation, 2 Peter 5:1, serve as humble examples for the believers, 2 Peter 5:3. Cherish the message of salvation and encourage people with its truth, Titus 1:9. Give attention to the ministry of prayer, Acts 6:4. The congregation has a responsibility to recognize the elders. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 12 and 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. The congregation has a responsibility to know those who are over them in the Lord. The word over is the same as rule in 1 Timothy 5:17. We're also to esteem the elders in 1 Thessalonians 5:13. This means that we give them respect. What else have you given Jesus? He gave you his life. Have you given yours to him? Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34. We talked about humility. When we are sufficiently humble, it is easier to accept that we have sins and weaknesses we need to repent of. What sin or weakness have you justified for too long? Repentance is something else we can give. Serving others, which we've talked about a lot tonight so far. How are you serving others? When you serve others, you are also serving Jesus. And as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me, Matthew 25:40. Something we talk about a lot is a daily spiritual life. Do you pray with sincerity? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. In verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Do you study the scriptures? Do you read his words? Do you keep his commandments? Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Okay, that is not the right passage. Bear with me for just a moment. Let's try 3:15. Well, I have a typo in my notes, but the passage is to study to show yourself approved. We need to study the scriptures. We need to keep his commandments. Let's look at 1 John 2:3. And by this we know that if we come to know him, we keep his commandments. Another great verse is John 14:15, a familiar one to us. Just some of the things that we can give Jesus. What have you left or given up for Jesus? Jesus gave up heaven to become a man and go through the trials as we do. Have you given up the things of your old life? Let's look at 1 Peter 3:21. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you put God and his Son first in your life? Have you left a puffed up attitude and humbled yourself? Jesus suffered for us. What have you borne for Jesus? Although we don't have many of the persecutions as the early church had, we still have some persecutions today, here in America at least. There are folks in some countries around the world that still suffer severe persecutions for God, for Jesus. If it came down to it, would you be able to suffer those kinds of persecutions? Would you be able to confess Jesus, even if it meant torture, being thrown in jail, or even death of you or your family? Do you say, yes, I am a Christian, I am a member of the Church of Christ? Or do you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Do you take some of the ridicule that we have today? Oh, you're a COC, you think a piano's sinful. Or, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. It's okay to miss on Sunday, come over and watch the game with us. After all, you're to be all things to all men. That is taken out of context severely with the world. Oh, you do not cuss or drink. Can't tell a dirty joke, the Christians here. Or even with the door-knocking campaign, having doors slammed in your face. Those are all forms of persecution. Jesus suffered more than that. It doesn't even compare to the suffering of Jesus. Jesus suffered more than thy tongue can tell. He suffered to rescue us from hell. How have you suffered for Jesus? He suffered and bled and died for you. The greatest gift Jesus has given us is salvation. A free gift. All we need to do is follow his example. We who are unworthy have a full pardon from our evil ways. What are some of the other gifts that Jesus has given us? The church. Jesus gave us the gift of his church. That should tell us the importance of being here when the elders set up the time. How important is the church? Upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. Not on Peter, but on his confession. Jesus uses the analogy of a husband and wife. We are the bride of Christ, Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Also John 3:29. I would say that the church is pretty important. It's pretty important that we should meet and be here. What else has Jesus given us? The Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word. We are guided by the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. How precious is that? We get to commune with Christ during the Lord's Supper. We remember his death, burial, and resurrection every first day of the week, as the early church did, Acts 20:7. We get to praise and adore him. He is also our avenue of prayer. We have direct communication with God through Jesus. God and his Son have given us the plan of salvation. We have a way out, church. Through his suffering, we are healed. But he was pierced. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. God and his Son have given us the plan of salvation, as we have printed on our bulletin. We must hear the word, Romans 10:17. We must believe it. Belief is an action word. If we truly believe, we must follow his commandments, Mark 16:16. We must repent of our sins, Acts 2:38. Put away the old man, Colossians 3:9-10. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We must confess, Matthew 10:32-33. And of course, in order to be saved, we must be baptized. Mark 16:16, Acts 22:16, so many passages talk about how important baptism is. We also must arise and walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:4, we have to have that walk. We have to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk for the rest of our lives. Jesus gave his life for you. What have you given to Jesus? You've thought about that? Jesus left his beautiful, eternal home in heaven to become human, to live as we do, tempted as we are. What have you left or given up, sacrificed for Jesus? Jesus suffered, was tortured, his blood was shed for you, his side was pierced, he was humiliated on a cross. He bore it all. What have you borne for Jesus? Many rich gifts he has brought to us. The most important gift, salvation, a free gift, a full pardon for we who are so unworthy. What have you brought to Jesus? Maybe you feel you haven't been the Christian you need to be and have forgotten what about Jesus has done for you. If you're feeling weak spiritually, we can help you. Maybe you've realized all Jesus has done for you and you're ready to be buried in the watery grave of baptism with Jesus and be saved tonight. We can definitely take care of that tonight. Whatever the need, please come as we stand and sing.